In our study in the book of Joshua, we have studied a number of battles that the children of Israel have fought against the inhabitants of the promised land back 1400 years before Christ. What is interesting about the biblical record is that there is sufficient archaeological evidence that confirms that these battles happened just the way the Bible describes them. This is not a fairy tale written by man. This is an actual historical account that is true. But not only is the book of Joshua a factual historical account of things that transpired over 3,000 years ago, it is also for us, as we noted in our study in the book of Hebrews a couple of months ago on Sunday mornings, it is also a typological study of a Christian progress to maturity. Deliverance from Egypt speaks of the new birth, of trusting Christ as Savior. Crossing the Red Sea speaks of that salvation passage from an old life to a new life. Passing through the wilderness and entering into the promised land is moving from spiritual infancy into spiritual maturity. And in moving into maturity, there are spiritual battles to fight. While each of these battles listed for us in the book of Joshua was an actual historical event, they are types of battles that you and I face as we move toward maturity. And we've noted a number of these battles. In Joshua chapter 11, we find another battle. And I want to draw some principles from this battle here tonight and make application to our quest for spiritual maturity. Read along with me. And it came to pass, when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things. Now I got to stop right there and say, what things did he hear? Well, just go back a couple of verses, chapter 10, verse 41. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even unto Gibeon. And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. Jabin, who is a king of Hazor, which is up in northern Israel. Now, up until this point in time, all the battles that have transpired have been down in central and southern Israel. The northern territories haven't been touched yet. But now word has filtered up to Hazor, or to Jabin, the king of Hazor, what's going on. He hears of Israel's conquest. Apparently, he had to have some knowledge of the Abrahamic covenant, and knowing that he is living in a land that was promised to the Jews, he had to understand that they were on the list for extermination. When Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things, then he sent to Jobab, must have been one of the southern boys, I don't know, living up in the north, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Akshpah, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains, and of the plains south as Chinneroth, and in the valley, and in the borders of Dor on the west. To the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Jebusite in the mountains, and to the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. Interesting, the Hittites here were a group of people that up until not too long ago were only mentioned in Scripture. And critics of the Bible said, there are no such thing as Hittites. Archaeologists kept wandering around, and guess what they found? Inscriptions concerning the Hittites. And they were people that were living exactly where the Bible said they were living. Nonetheless, and they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore, in multitude, with horses and chariots, very many. And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. Couple of principles right here in this first five verses that I want you to consider about our spiritual battle and quest for maturity. Principle number one, the quest for spiritual maturity is always filled with battles. When Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard these things, he didn't say to myself, oh my goodness, I'm on the list. I might as well get out of here now and save myself the problems of fighting. The enemy is always ready to battle. There are times in our spiritual lives when we get disgusted with fighting battles. Oh, you would think by now I would have conquered that. I shouldn't have to be fighting these battles, we tell ourselves. I've been in Christ for, 2 months now. I should have gotten a handle on this. No, we don't say that. I've been in Christ for 20 years now. Shouldn't the battles have ceased by now? And you know what? I think possibly some of the children of Israel may have said to themselves, we've been out here for a couple of months now fighting these battles. Shouldn't they get the message by now? Consider all that the enemy has seen. They've seen us marching around Jericho, and the walls miraculously fell down. They saw us going up to Ai, and there was sin in our camp, and God wasn't with us then till we dealt with the sin. And then the people of Ai fell before us. The Gibeonites came and they made a league, and we had to go defend them, and things were going well, but we were running out of time, and God miraculously made the sun stand still. Don't you think the enemy would have seen all these things and said, I can't stand against this, and just given up? And the enemy doesn't give up. The quest for spiritual maturity is always filled with battles. And they are exhausting battles. Secondly, the greater the quest for maturity, the greater the resistance of the enemy. Not only was there another battle to fight, but if I understand the language here in verse 4, when they got all these peoples together. Now remember in our last study with the battle to rescue the Gibeonites, there was a coalition of people. There's another coalition going on here. But look what it says in verse 4, and they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people like the sand that is upon the seashore. I mean, we're talking a lot of people in the army. Not only that, they had horses and chariots, very many. I mean, Israel was facing a number that they have never faced before. And they faced a pretty impressive enemy before. The greater the quest for maturity, the greater the resistance of the enemy. Things should be getting easier by now. No. The more you desire to be like God, the harder things are going to become. Don't be discouraged by that. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time you will go out and win. Isn't that what it says? Doesn't say that? Be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. You will go out, you will see the number of them, it will look impressive, you will see all the horses and chariots, it will be intimidating, but don't worry about it. I will deliver them up all slain. The greater the battle is, the more the Lord has opportunity to display His power and glory. Look at all them out there. Look at all him up there. See, that was Israel's problem when that David and Goliath thing got going. They saw a guy who was 9 feet 9 inches tall. And they said, how can any one person come against them? When the one person who was really doing the battle is far greater than 9 feet 9 inches in height. That would be the infinite God of heaven. The greater the battle, the more impressive the enemy, is only the greater the opportunity that God has to display His glory. You thought marching around Jericho was fantastic? In the popular saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. You thought the sun standing still was fantastic? And it was. Wait till you see this. And in our struggles towards maturity, I've experienced everything there is of God. What else can He do? Oh, just sit back and watch. Now, that doesn't mean that I should actually rephrase that. Not just sit back and watch, but hold close and participate. Look at verse 6 again. Be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. Thou shalt... See, there is participation. Thou shalt huff their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly. And guess what happened? They fell upon them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel. Why? Because God never lies. Who smote them and chased them unto the great Zidon and unto that word there and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward. And they smote them until they left them none remaining. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him, and he huffed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. Well, the huffing of the horses is actually cutting the hamstrings. That was the command. Why did God tell them to do that? The greater the victory, the greater there is a temptation to trust in the spoils of it rather than the provider of the victory. Oh, look at all these horses we got. Now we have an army. And with this army, we can go and we can beat anyone. No. You didn't need the horses and the chariots to beat the enemy. You just needed a God who was faithful to do what He says. And sometimes that's what happens in our quest for spiritual maturity. We gain some victories and we say to ourselves, my faith was good, wasn't it? And we start trusting in our faith rather than our faith being in God. I must be a person of insight into the Scriptures. Oh, I have this gift or I have this ability, and maybe you do. But you know, it didn't really matter how qualified you were with the knife. It didn't matter how qualified you were with the sword. It didn't matter how qualified you were with the trumpet to blow the trumpet to call the armies together. All that mattered is that you trusted in God who would deliver. Sometimes we get off track because we start trusting in our trust. And then we fail miserably. Remember David's problem? He numbered his armies. Not that having a count of them was necessarily wrong, but when he counted them up, he said, oh, I got enough now to win. Remember Gideon's problem? God said to him, you have too many to win. Get rid of some of these guys. Then I can work. So, verse 9, Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He huffed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. Didn't need those things. And Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor and smote the king thereof with a sword. For Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe, and he burnt Hazor with fire. And all the cities of those kings and all the kings of them did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword. And he utterly destroyed them as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only. That did Joshua burn. And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle and the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves. But every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe. As the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Principle number 5. The greater the victory, the greater the need to be obedient to the will of God. Sometimes we think, okay, I've conquered this. I've conquered that. I've conquered this. Oh, I've gotten up here in a level of spiritual maturity. Now I can sit back and take it easy. You still have to go out and be obedient to the will of God. There's never an easy chair in the kingdom of God. There's thrones, but no easy chairs. God always requires obedience. They could have said, well, you know what, it's going to be a lot of work to burn all these cities, and then we're going to have to repopulate them and this and that. Why don't we just let them go? No. God told Moses. Moses told Joshua. Joshua said to the people, you better do everything that we say. We get to a certain level and we just think, okay, that's good enough. Why bother going any farther? Interesting. Look at verse 16. So Joshua took all that land, the hills and all the south country and all the land of Goshen and the valley and the plain and the mountain of Israel and the valley of the same, even from the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir and so forth and so on. And then they quit fighting. But you know what? Israel never possessed the entirety of the land that God had promised to Abraham. We get to the place where we think, oh, that's good enough. And there's always a little bit more that God wants us to progress on to. Never become satisfied, no matter how mature you've become. Because there's still some conformity that's left. The very image of God. Consequently, because they did not wipe out everybody, a couple hundred years later, those giants that were in the land that they 40 years ago were afraid of, they didn't wipe them out, and one of them would be named Goliath. Had they taken care of him, David wouldn't have had to do that. Now you could say, well, in the providence of God, God was doing this, and yes, he was, and you can say that argument. But the problem is, in between the time of Goliath and David and the time of Joshua, there was about 500 years that those giants were still in the land. And they weren't friendly people. Israel suffered because of that. There may be things that we can say, oh, we can live with them. Little quirks in our personalities. Well, not actually in our personalities, because sin is not a personality issue. Sin is a spiritual issue. And we get comfortable with certain things. Someone has said the job of a pastor is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Don't make me work hard. Be satisfied. Be thankful for what God is doing in your life. But never be totally content with it. There's always a little bit more to get done. There's always another battle to fight. Keep fighting. Let's pray. Father, thank you for victory. One of the things that I didn't emphasize tonight that I need to point out now and thank you for is that every battle that Israel fought was a guaranteed victory. And every battle that we fight in our quest for spiritual maturity is a guaranteed victory. For the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. And the enemy is no match for you. Lord, help us to be thankful for progress that has been made, for our spiritual cities that have been conquered, the land that we have acquired in fighting the good fight of faith. But Lord, may we be faithful to be found doing all that you would have us to do and becoming all that you would have us to be. For your honor and your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.